All right, we're back with We the People, just in time for E3. We've been awoken from our slumber, sleeping in the trees, because if you listen closely, it's coming.
That's not the exact quote. If you listen closely, man, you can hear it coming, but close enough. I mean, you know I would know this because I've probably watched that trailer more times than I'd like to admit.
Of course, referring to the E3 of Dreams 2010, where we had Donkey Kong Country Returns being talked about for the first time. That was the first standard Donkey Kong game in two console cycles. So it was a pretty exciting time. And then we got Other M, which people mixed feelings about. But anyway, this isn't about Metroid. We are here to talk specifically about this Donkey Kong situation. Matthew and I are very involved. I mean, well, we follow the DK people, the DK Twitters and the DK YouTube channels, your Uncle Al's, your DK Vines. We keep our ear. Yeah, we keep our ear to the ground, which, by the way, shout out to all those guys. Pay them a visit if you like Donkey Kong stuff, or in DK Vine's place, Donkey Kong plus everything Rare has ever breathed on. bit of a misnomer there, I would say. But, no sweat. I appreciate that website and its long legacy. Anyway, let's get into this. So Matthew, give it to me straight. How did we get to this place? What is the rumor that's floating around?
Well, so it for me, because I probably follow this stuff even closer than you do, even though we both love Donkey Kong and it's both our favorite game series, or at least I know mine for sure. I had just always kept hearing rumblings, honestly, for quite some time now from a lot of the main Donkey Kong outlets, such as DK Vine, such as the Kremlin Campaigners, and there was just a lot of rumblings because of the park that was being developed in Universal Studios, how one-third of that is being dedicated to Donkey Kong, which, doesn't make any sense if you're not planning on bringing that back, just given the financial commitment that park is going to take. And, there were things like the street signs in Super Mario Odyssey that were all themed after Donkey Kong Country characters. And there was just a lot of things that were going on that were pointing towards the idea of something new being done with the brand. And so it just seems like it started picking up more and more steam, aside from just the Donkey Kong media outlets that were talking about it. I think once Nintendo Life published a story about it, that's when it really picked up steam. I know there were some credible leakers too that had started talking about it, like somebody named Zippo, and I believe there's another one that they both have a decently credible track record, and they started talking about it as well. And once they did, and once Nintendo Life talked about they had heard about this rumor, I think even another popular YouTuber named Lonely Goomba, which he said he doesn't have any insider information, but that he had been hearing rumblings of the same thing. That's when we kind of arrived at this point. Now, just to set the record straight, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. For example, the main storyline that was going with this rumor is that it's being developed internally by Nintendo EPD, which it is, but by the same development team that developed Super Mario Odyssey, which is incorrect. From a lot of the Donkey Kong media outlets, they've specified that it's a team within EPD, but it's its own team, and it's a team of younger people who grew up on Super Donkey Kong, aka Donkey Kong Country. That's what it's known as in Japan. And, it makes sense just with the country references in Mario Odyssey, but again, it's not the same exact team. There's also a lot of speculation as to whether it's a 2D game or a 3D game, which, some people have claimed wholeheartedly it's going to be a 2D game. There's others that have said they're not exactly sure. But there's a lot of, misinformation out there, so you have to be careful about that. But that's essentially how we've arrived at this point. Like I said, there were whispers of, something coming. But it really wasn't until Nintendo Life talked about it that, now everybody's pretty much on board that this is a real thing. And I'm confident that it is because, Uncle Al, another popular YouTuber who's a big DK person, talked about he knows for sure And he's not a leaker, but he knows for certain this game is being made based on, you know, the DK community and them speaking with each other and whatnot. So that's how we're here.
Yes, that's the bird's eye view of what's happening. So let's dissect a little bit of that. First, with the headlines that you've been reading, new Donkey Kong game by the Mario Odyssey team, and that's sparked all these debates on, like, oh, they should just be making Mario games and nothing else. And that all stems from kind of a misunderstanding of what Nintendo EPD is. It is just a division of Nintendo's development teams. And, you know, it's like people are just clickbaiting with, like, the same team that made Mario Odyssey, because it's also, like, technically the same team that made Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, one of the greatest stinkers in Nintendo history. So, I mean, it's...
I mean, yeah... They make so many games from that studio. Didn't Splatoon? Yes,
Splatoon
come from
2
that
and
studio?
3 will come from it. It seemed to be formed in like 2015. That's when they first started getting credited with games, but it's just like it's just a part of Nintendo. And so all the first like super first party Nintendo games are made in their Ring Fit Adventure, Mario Kart Tour, Mario Maker 2, all that stuff. But you know, That whole Mario Odyssey headline works a lot better than, you know, the team behind Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is making a new Donkey Kong game. But yeah, just to clear that up, you know, you gotta Google things. You know, you just can't... people don't...
Well, that's actually, I think, the problem is that people are Googling things and they're seeing a headline, and that's why you have a lot of clout-chasing YouTube channels that are, you know, publishing that video, Donkey Kong being made by the same team that made Super Mario Odyssey, and it's like, man, if you're gonna, you know, create content around that story, at least do your research, you know? Which, not to cast aspersions on anybody, but it's just, come on now, like... And I think the reason it's a little concerning is because I don't want another tropical freeze to happen. And what I'm referring to in that vein is that when Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze was announced, a lot of people were very upset, and that announcement was met with extreme hostility because people thought Retro Studios was going to go back and make Metroid Prime 4. And I think it's because, you know, they had... silly expectations. They had these expectations that Donkey Kong Country Returns was just a one-time thing. And I think the same thing, or I'm kind of fearful of it happening, could happen here because you have a lot of people thinking, well, if it's made by the same team that made Super Mario Odyssey, it's absolutely going to be a sandbox 3D game. And if it doesn't end up being that, if it ends up, in fact, being a 2D game, you're going to have a lot of people that are really upset. And that's why it's important to put this information out here, you know, because we don't want people's expectations to be, you know, towards like, we don't want you guys to expect something from this game. And then when it's not that, now it becomes a disappointment, because I'll be really upset if that ends up happening again as a big DK fan, because I remember Tropical Freeze was just such an annoying time to be a fan with how the Nintendo community treated that announcement.
Yeah, looking back on that, it's really funny, and it's like, they're making another Donkey Kong game. It's like, man, if everybody who was complaining about that actually bought Metroid, then they would be making another Metroid game. But the reason that they constantly put that series on ice is because there's this big hardcore... you know, groaning for another Metroid game, and they just don't sell. Metroid Prime was a huge hit, you know, looking in terms of like where the franchise was, but I mean, all the other Metroid games have very weak sales, and it's like, man, if you like Metroid, just big, you buy the games, and that's the way to reinforce that. But yeah, and this already turned into that other thing where it's just like, well, I mean, I wish they were just making like another Mario Odyssey. And it's like, you know, I get, everybody has their taste, but what's annoying is that it's Donkey Kong has been homeless for a long time. Ever since the Rare buyout, it was just like, you know, like a decade of nothingness, of like weird experiments with Konga and Jungle Beat and Jungle Climber. And I like those games as much as the next guy. They're cool spinoffs, but we were missing that core DK experience. And then Retro comes back for two games, and then they seem to have like started making their own IP that was so bad that it got canceled quietly, and now they're doing Metroid Prime again. You got what you wanted, guys.
Yeah, I mean, and the only reason they got Metroid Prime is because Bandai Namco couldn't do a good enough job with Metroid Prime 4. So, yeah, it's interesting. And you know, you brought up the Super Mario Odyssey 2 thing and a lot of people being upset that it might take away from that. You know, it's just weird because just to give a quick history lesson, I don't want to get too caught up in all of this, but a lot of people of, you know, a certain generation, a younger generation, most likely don't understand that Donkey Kong used to be as big, if not bigger, than Mario at one point in time. It was certainly bigger than The Legend of Zelda, and it's probably crazy to hear that, but it's absolutely true. You know, back when Rare was tasked with making Donkey Kong Country, and that was an absolutely huge hit, which was followed up by two sequels, and then Donkey Kong 64. You had Diddy Kong Racing, which I guess you would count as a Donkey Kong game, but it really wasn't until the Rare buyout happened, and Donkey Kong was just in limbo, so to speak, because they just didn't know what to do with it, you know, and Nintendo took a couple stabs at, like, well, maybe we should make it a little different than Mario. Maybe it shouldn't be a traditional platformer. Let's try making it, like, a music-based game. Or you had Jungle Beat that's, you know, a platformer, but you use drums to play it, which is a cool idea, and it's a fun game, but it's just, I don't ever want that again, you know? But, you know, that's why, you know, when there's a lot of people questioning, well, why would they make this versus Super Mario Odyssey 2, even though, again, just to reiterate, it's a different development team within that studio. But I don't think it's also unreasonable if the Odyssey team was making this game, because Donkey Kong used to be a huge franchise, and I think it still is. I think among most casual game people, they recognize that character just about as much as they recognize Mario. I bet if you asked every person in the world if they recognize Donkey Kong more than Link, I guarantee you that would be the case. And I think they understand that, you know, the only reason it hasn't truly taken off like it did back in the day is because it's had this identity crisis followed by just, you know, the franchise being juggled all over the place as far as who's handling the development of it. And you saw Donkey Kong Country Returns sold close to 6 million copies, which is, it just shows you right there the power that the brand has. You know, Tropical Freeze managed to move 2 million units on a console that sold 13 million total, which I would say is pretty extraordinary, but, and that's excluding digital sales. So, you know, that's just kind of a, you know, when the whole why not Mario Odyssey 2, which is not even the case, but I think, you know, people underestimate, you know, what DK is and how big it truly was and probably will still be whenever they, you know, pump this game out.
It's been kind of, it's always funny to see people's weird perspectives on, you know, what Donkey Kong is and like what it means to Nintendo. Cause like, I feel like a lot of people just don't really have that sort of perspective of what's happened in, you know, what character DK is. Cause the truth of the matter is that, you know, Donkey Kong is one of the most iconic Nintendo characters. I mean, he's up there with Mario, and he was the start of the brand in the '80s, with the arcade games. It was just hugely popular. It's what put Nintendo on the map. And, you know, that's led us to this point where they're building a Donkey Kong section of the theme park. And that's why, like, you know, I'm not surprised at all that they're making a game. I'm just like, yeah, it's going to come eventually. They're not putting all this money into these extra things for nothing. And, you know, you'll notice that they're not making a Zelda section of the theme park. Now, I will say that at this particular moment, Zelda is a bigger franchise than Donkey Kong, but that's really the story of this terrible mismanagement of the franchise, because you look through, you know, in the Super Nintendo, Donkey Kong Country clobbered Link to the Past, almost doubling its sales. I mean, it's just like not even a contest. And you know, the other Super Nintendo games performed very well as well. And then, you know, you see this kind of like pattern where they kind of trade blows in the 64. Ocarina of Time was sold like around 2 million more units than Donkey Kong 64, but Donkey Kong 64 outsold Majora's Mask, and then Diddy Kong Racing was another huge performer. It almost sold as much as DK 64.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, just on the Ocarina of Time thing, too, a lot of people underestimate this, but Donkey Kong 64 came out at the end of the Nintendo 64's lifespan. And if you historically look at game sales of video games that come near the end of a console cycle, they typically sell much less than something that came before. And a perfect example with The Legend of Zelda is look at Twilight Princess's sales versus Skyward Sword, and even what you just talked about, Ocarina of Time versus Majora's Mask. You know, I think that makes a big difference. If Donkey Kong 64 came out in 1998 like Ocarina of Time did, I feel like it probably would have sold a lot better than it did, which is, you know, you look at Country 3, same thing there. It was the worst selling one out of the three on the Super Nintendo. It also came out when the Nintendo 64 was released, I believe.
Yeah.
It was the same year, 1996. Yeah, I mean,
you see some evidence of that. I don't, that's not always the case. I feel like that's a fading thing. Especially if you look at the recent like juggernaut successes in the last year of the PlayStation 4, which of course is its own bag of worms. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's interesting because they've always like, you know, they've kind of traded blows, Donkey Kong or Zelda, you know, that's why I say DK is equal to or greater than Zelda in terms of brand potential, because you break it down by system by system, and it's like Donkey Kong did much better on the Game Boy, I believe the Game Boy Color as well, and then the Game Boy Advance, Zelda pulled a little bit ahead with that, you know, combo Link to the Past Four Swords thing, and you know they just kind of traded blows until that point with the GameCube, and you know that whole Rare buyout where, you know, Donkey Kong just lost its sort of like team and identity, and the same people have been making Zelda games for like a long time, and then they've taken, you know, partnerships with Capcom and other companies to help them make the games when they get a little ambitious. Now, I will say that to, like, you know, the sales of like Twilight Princess are way inflated because for the first, you know, half a year, that was the only first party Nintendo game of like any consequence that you could really play on the Wii. So launch games are always really inflated. You know, look no further than Knack to see that in action. But what's interesting is that with the Wii offering, when Donkey Kong came back, Country Returns beat out Skyward Sword in terms of sales. And the crazy thing with that is that there was a gigantic marketing push behind Skyward Sword. I remember it. I got that game, the special edition with the CD. You got a free 35th anniversary concert where they orchestrated and mixed all the themes of Zelda. I mean, it is incredible music that they threw on there. You get some bundles of the controller. So they put a lot more marketing energy into that. The Wii was still super popular, gigantic install base, and Country Returns still did better. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity for Donkey Kong as a brand. Zelda has since, you know, had a huge success in Breath of the Wild. What will be interesting to see, and we'll never know this, and we'll get a clue when Breath of the Wild 2 comes out, but, like, how much of Breath of the Wild's success is it being a launch Switch game? I don't know. I mean, like, we know that, like, things are inflated when you're at the beginning of a console launch, especially one as successful as the Switch or the Wii. But yeah, I'm very curious to see Breath of the Wild 2. I will be surprised if Breath of the Wild 2 breaks 10 million copies. I don't think it will, but you know, if that happens, I'll eat a can of beans on air. I hate beans.
No, I think it probably would, just with the Switch's install base and the fact that first game was so well received. But
I don't know, we'll see, because you can also see that sequels on the same system always do worse, like pretty much every time. And that's why you know, honestly, I think like it would be a good idea to put the Mario team on a Donkey Kong game, and they just rotate from Donkey Kong to Mario every console generation, because there's not as much of a drop off from like Donkey Kong, or, you know, Mario 64 to Donkey Kong 64, or Super Mario World to Donkey Kong Country. Donkey Kong has, like, traditionally been that, like, at least, you know, in those glory days, Donkey Kong was, like, the second wind, where, like, you know, Mario came out of the gate, system's doing well, but, like, now things are getting challenging, competition's heating up, bring out the ape, and Donkey Kong Country was that silver bullet that Nintendo needed to keep fending off Sega. And Donkey Kong 64 was a very ambitious game. I don't think that one, like, worked out quite as well. That one seemed like a little too ambitious for what the 64 could do, but, like, you know, it sold great, and it was a well-regarded game. And, you know, I think that a Donkey Kong game, like a very, you know, high octane, grandiose vision Donkey Kong game is just what the Switch needs, because Mario Odyssey 2 is going to eat into the sales of Mario Odyssey 1 and vice versa. There's going to be a lot of people who don't play both, and you can totally see the evidence of that for why Nintendo never puts a second, you know, Smash Brothers or Mario Kart on the same system. You can see that from Mario Galaxy 1 to Mario Galaxy 2, there's a gigantic dip in sales. And so I think that, you know, that putting that sort of effort into Donkey Kong would be a good idea. But I guess I'm sort of transitioning to our next point here. You know, Donkey Kong's huge. It can be huge. We hope it becomes huge. But Zippo in particular, this guy, I don't know anything about him except that he has a blog and he apparently leaks stuff. He is claiming the game is 2D, 100%. So what do you think? What do you think about that? A lot of people had assumed that it was going to be a 3D Donkey Kong game because of the misreporting around the Odyssey team. I would have, like, assumed that it would be a 3D game just because that seems to be what makes sense for the next step for the Donkey Kong franchise. But, you know, give me your take on that, Matthew.
Well, my thing is that I've always heard with these rumors, the common thing that all the DK media outlets have been saying is that this is all part of some plan to bring Donkey Kong back in a big way. Because one thing DK Vine reported on that I thought was really interesting is that there was another Donkey Kong game in development by another studio that wasn't Retro Studios, and it wasn't them. And at some point, they decided that, you know what, we're just going to do our own thing because we want it to be done a certain way. And the thing that all the media outlets with the whole, you know, they plan to bring it back in a big way, that's pretty synonymous with the fact that Nintendo would just say, you know what, we got it from here, we're just going to do it, take this in the direction that we see fit. And to me, if you're really truly planning on bringing it back in a big way, I just think doing another 2D game is not really the way to do that. As much as I would still love it because I love Donkey Kong, and you know, my favorite Donkey Kong games are the 2D ones. They've only attempted 3D once, you know, but I just think, to me, historically, 3D sandbox games or 3D open world games tend to sell much better than 2D platformers, number one. But number two, I just think retreading some of the same or familiar ground, you know, given that Tropical Freeze has been ported to the Switch, I just don't think that makes the most sense. I don't really believe the thing about Zippo, though, in particular, claiming this to be 100% fact that it's 2D. I don't know. Reading his post about it, it oozes with arrogance. You know, I honestly feel like, and there's people who have pointed out that there's things he's confirmed 100% for a fact in the past that he ended up being wrong about, or he was wrong about certain details. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case here, because I feel like, you know, why not just have Retro Studios do another 2D game if you're going to do a 2D one? Like, to me, that's the part that I can't get over, is that I understand Retro Studios is making Metroid Prime 4, but they were doing something before then. And you easily, like, once that project got canned, it wasn't until a decent amount later, too, that they were tasked with doing Prime 4. So they had a period of limbo where they just weren't really doing a whole lot, or we don't know what they were doing. And to me, I just don't understand why, if you were going to make another 2D game, why not task the studio with doing it that's already produced two of them, one that sold incredibly well, and another one that I think, given it the circumstance, given the fact that it was being sold on a one of the worst selling, if not the worst selling console of all time, and the fact that it was delayed and released in the worst period of the year for retail, I just think there were so many things going against that game, and the fact that it had some modicum of success, to me, speaks volumes. And so I just think if you're going to do another 2D game, it just makes more sense to give it to Retro. And there's rumors that Retro Studios wanted to bring King K. Rool back, but they were told no because they wanted to bring him back with the Smash Ultimate announcement. Cool, but that just would make me even more upset if it's another 2D game, because I would have loved to see Retro's take on King K. Rool, given the fact that they were always told they couldn't use him and that they had to come up with their own characters. That's more so why I think I would be disappointed if it was 2D, even though I'm sure it would still be a great game and I would be happy to play it. I feel like it's going to be a 3D game personally, though, and if not, like a 2.5D, like Crash Bandicoot style, or I could see something along the lines of Super Mario World, where it's 3D, but it's in the style of separate individual levels as opposed to one big level with many tasks to complete. So I don't see it being a standard 2D platformer, though. I just, unless it's four player or it does something that Retro didn't do, I can't see it.
Yeah, that's... I agree with a lot of that. Personally, I would like to see... I'm very curious about a 3D game, but I love 2D platformers, so I'll always take another one of those. And if they do four-player, oh, man, icing on the cake. But I do think a 3D game is what's appropriate. You know, if I was managing the Nintendo portfolio and I'm looking at the Switch, I've already got a side-scrolling Donkey Kong game there that no one's played. And so throwing another one on there seems a bit strange, especially if they're going to go this like direction where they're probably going to change the art style and rebrand the characters, which I'm absolutely fine with. And I disagree with the K. Rool piece because I don't care about Retro's take on K. Rool. One of the things I didn't love about Donkey Kong Country, it never bothered me, but the more I get away from it, the more I just don't care for the art style and the googly eyed characters with the way too fuzzy fur.
You're talking about, Returns, both of them, right?
I mean, they're very cartoony in a way that I don't.
No, when you say both of them, are you saying Returns and Tropical Freeze
Retro's games?
Oh, okay. Because I think you didn't clarify. You just said my problem with Donkey Kong Country, and so that's why I wanted you to clarify that, so somebody listening doesn't. So you're talking about Retro's take on the series.
Retro's artistic take on the series. Like, I wouldn't have cared to see that K. Rool, because I think he would have looked, a little cartoony and plump and, I don't know, personal taste thing. I just didn't. I'm glad that they're saving that for a bigger thing. But I do think that, if I was managing that portfolio, I would want another 3D game. I would want more 3D games in general. They generally perform better, and we've had pretty great amount of 2D platform offerings, both in terms of like a lot of good indie games on Switch, but you've also got all these Wii U games and we've already got a side-scrolling Yoshi, a side-scrolling Kirby, a side-scrolling Donkey Kong, and so. Like, let's mix it up a little bit. Let's get a 3D Donkey Kong. Although the cynical side of me doesn't think that they're making it. I just like, far be it from Nintendo to really like spend on a grandiose vision for a game unless it's Mario or Zelda, the only two franchises they seem to care about often.
Well, so I'll say just really quick, I agree with the Retro Studios art style thing. I am not a huge fan of it either. I just think I more so mean getting their take on a video game that would include King K. Rool. And that's why I say I always had a vision for if Retro Studios made a game and it plays out sort of like Donkey Kong Country 2, not in the sense that DK gets kidnapped. I think you would have all the characters at play, but you would go to Crocodile Isle, and I just think it would be amazing to see their take on a new theme for DK where it's not natural environments, it's what you got out of DKC 2, but how fun they would make those levels. The other thing I was going to say is that it's funny that you bring up the 2D platformer stuff, though, or thinking that they would do that because it would save them money or whatever the case may be. What's really funny about that is that I've actually heard that 3D sandbox style video games are actually cheaper. The reason they started making them that way is because you could have one level that you just keep replaying for a long period of time. With like, that's why you look at a game like Super Mario 3D Worlds. That game was probably incredibly hard to develop because you're creating so many different levels that you start and you finish and then you don't come back to. And obviously you're able to reuse assets in other levels, but you look at something like Super Mario Odyssey, you just create your 10, 11, 12, whatever it is, levels, and that's it, you know, like as far as what you have to do with development. And that's why that was a popular style of game development back in the N64 and PlayStation era, was because you didn't have to create all these different levels. I've actually heard that Donkey Kong Country Returns and Tropical Freeze uses the same engine that Metroid Prime did. And you and I have pointed out, like, sometimes when you just gaze in the background of those games, like, those environments are so fleshed out for, like, what appears to be miles as far as within the video game. And it's crazy to me that they just work on all these little details. And you know that stuff takes just, I mean, you're almost creating like a giant 3D level for something that you're going to complete in like 5 to 10 minutes and then move on to the next one. So I don't know that they would do a 2D platformer for the sake of a smaller scope or a more reasonable budget, because I think they could accomplish that with a 3D sandbox game. I just think they're always afraid to try new things sometimes, you know, and I think they've got this idea that, you know, Donkey Kong, what people love about it is the fact that it's a 2D platformer, even though from a nostalgia standpoint, it seems like most people have the fondest memories of the original Donkey Kong Country and of Donkey Kong 64. For all the criticism Donkey Kong 64 has endured over the years and how it hasn't aged great and this, that, and the other, it's the one that if you ask most people, it's probably the one they remember loving the most, or the game that most casual game people will tell you is like an amazing game. So I don't know. I feel like they have enough business sense to understand that we already have a 2D platformer, Donkey Kong, on the Switch. Introducing that right after that, I think that also creates like brand confusion, where like you're going to have a different development studio make a 2D Donkey Kong, and that means it's going to look different. Like as far as aesthetically, the art style is going to be different, the gameplay is going to be different. I just feel like that creates some brand identity issues. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think it's hard to distinguish those two things at once. It's like if you came out with the Insane Trilogy for Crash Bandicoot, and then like 2 or 3 years later, you have Crash Bandicoot 4. Well, I guess they actually did that, now that I'm thinking about it, but I think that's part of the thing that hurt Crash Bandicoot 4 sales is, you know, you have this game that doesn't even look like the Insane Trilogy, like, at all, you know? And it begs the question, like, is this a sequel to Crash Bandicoot, or is this a spinoff?
I mostly think it should be a 3D game for the reason I stated before, that it's just going to spread out the portfolio. There's not a whole lot of 3D games on the Switch. And, you know, exploration has always been very core to the Donkey Kong formula. Even before Donkey Kong 64, you were encouraged to go and find every little nook and cranny, collect everything, and you had a percentage completion that I don't think was mirrored in the Mario Brothers series. So it's always been about exploration, and bringing that into 3D and seeing their take on a collectathon would be really interesting. And yeah, I mean, you're right, that the reason that Mario 64 is a open sandbox game is, one, because the jumping would be way too clunky to like expect you any precision out of you, but also because it would be a crazy strain on development resources. And Crash Bandicoot kind of cheats in a very interesting way, where it's like, it's kind of a side scroller from the back, but you've got like enough 3D space to work with where it qualifies as a 3D platformer. And then, you know, Mario 3D World is like expanding on that a little bit more. And I would love to see something in the vein of a 3D world or a Crash Bandicoot, or even taking some inspiration from Sonic games. And that's the funny thing about how, you know, Sonic gets clowned on as a franchise, and it's definitely earned that reputation. But I've always respected the ambition to, like, keep making, like, linear action platformer games, because no one's doing that in 3D anymore. Ironically, as games have become way more profitable and such a bigger industry, the ambition of a lot of different parts of that industry have shrunk instead of expanded. And I think it's time for Donkey Kong to dip his toes into 3D. And honestly, I think it's time for a lot of Nintendo franchises to look at that. Like, what would a Yoshi game be like in 3D? We've had, like, vague clues of it, of the weird Yoshi inclusion in Mario 64 DS. What would a Kirby game be like in 3D? We got, like, a little bit of a clue with Kirby's Blowout Blast on the 3DS, but I think that would be awesome, too. And so, yeah, I definitely feel like it's time to make it 3D. The other thing that I haven't talked about yet is that, honestly, like, if Nintendo EPD is cooking up a side-scroll platformer, it's not, like, it's just going to compare so unfavorably to Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, it won't even be funny. They're not going to outdo Retro. Those levels are so, like, lovingly crafted. Every inch of that level, both from an artistic and a gameplay standpoint, are near perfect. That is probably the best 2D platformer game that exists. There's these tiny things that hold it back, but look at any speed run of that game, or look at any, you know, even the time trials. Eventually, you can learn to do all that stuff, because every enemy placement, every barrel, every jump is so well thought out that you can speed run it in such a way where it just looks like a symphony happening. And there's no way that EPD is going to do that. There's no way that they'll surpass that.
Well, that's why I was trying to ask you about, like, don't you think that would create some sort of, like, I feel like that creates brand confusion, because you would be following up Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze that's on the Switch with another 2D Donkey Kong game that's going to look different, it's going to play different, and if it's not as good, I think that works against that game. Because the thing about Returns and Tropical Freeze, like, say whatever you want about how meaningful an impact those games made in the game industry as far as sales and creating popularity in the brands, they're widely recognized as two of the best, if not the best, 2D platformers of all time. So that's what you're like essentially competing with, and people are naturally going to compare them because they're going to look at it. If it's another 2D platformer, there's a lot of people that are going to look at that as a natural successor to Tropical Freeze. And if it's not mind-blowingly good, I think that's bad for business. And so that's why I'm almost convinced that there's no way this is a 2D game unless Nintendo's just making a very poor business decision. But that's why I was trying to ask you, like, don't you think also that would create some issues, you know, if you're like, imagine if there was a 2D Mario game and then you get another 2D Mario game that plays completely different, it looks completely different. I just think I just think as a consumer, that's confusing, you know, like, what is this? Is this a mainline game? Is this a spinoff?
I would mostly agree with that. I think the brand confusion would come in some of those things where it's like, what is, if it's another side-scroller game and the backgrounds are very static and flat, like, that's just going to look bad. It's going to look worse than the game that came out, like, what, almost 10 years ago now? Or how? When did Tropical Freeze come out originally? Yeah, almost
2014.
Going on, I can't math. almost 8 years when 2022 years. Comes. Yeah, it's just like, that's not going to be a good look. And are they going to go in a direction where they continue the very hardcore, intense nature of the Retro series? Or are they going to go in a more easy direction? And so I think that confuses it, too, where you think of someone seeing the E3 trailer, they're like, oh man, Donkey Kong. I don't know about much about Donkey Kong. I'm interested in this new game. Let me pick up this one on Switch. It's on sale. And then they just get obliterated by the difficulty. And then the next game that's meant to be like more like easygoing is just totally out of left field for them. And they don't want to play because they've already gotten their teeth kicked in from the first one. And there's a lot of factors like that are very confusing. And like, I am 90% sure that they are going to radically change the visual nature of this game. They're not going to go for a hyper-realistic direction. There's just nothing that Nintendo... I mean, Nintendo's really never done that. They've always outsourced when they've wanted to create like really intense 3D graphics. You know, you look at Metroid Prime, you look at Rare with the Donkey Kong Country series, like they don't do that kind of hyper realistic style. And so I don't think that they're going to, you know, make something that's visually deeper than Tropical Freeze. So yeah, I mean, I think it could be a small disaster. At the same time, I'm not too worried about it because obviously they've got a plan. And that's like, as a starved Donkey Kong fan, that's all I want. I just want to know that, like, my man's in Nintendo somewhere and they're feeding him bananas, that they're keeping my boy fed. Because for so long, we had nothing. And then we were blessed with those retro games, the co-op, the level design, the rocket barrel levels. But, you know, we had so much with that and then just like fell off the map again. And it's just nice to know that someone's going to be making them. And with them taking it back into EPD, the chances of the series being more stable from now are much greater because they're not having to balance it with some team that's on the other side of the world. And so I like that. I'm not too worried about it in any case. The only way that I think that a 2D game would be successful, though, is if it had some, like, edge, some difference that just made it so distinct from Tropical Freeze that you had to pay attention. Four player, maybe you're getting there, but the other one was like simultaneous two player. I don't know. They need some standout mechanic, some standout feature to make a 2D game work. But yeah, I think 3D would be, you know, the better choice. You know, have Donkey Kong be your kind of like action 3D platformer series and let Mario go back to the sandbox roots.
So another thing I just thought about with the art style too is I think when I look at Super Mario Odyssey, I don't know if this is just a me thing, but I feel like Super Mario Odyssey captured more of that Super Mario 64 style. And what I mean by that is a more serious, less cartoony version of Mario. Or I shouldn't say less cartoony, but less like kiddie. I don't know how to explain it, but I just feel like Super Mario Odyssey had a less expressive Mario in more environments that felt more, they had more realism to him than in games like Sunshine or Galaxy. And I don't know. So I really feel like I wouldn't be surprised if this Donkey Kong Country game, like I was saying before, you know, disagreeing with how you feel about it, that if it ends up being kind of, you know, similar to the original trilogy in terms of appearance and whatnot. And I'll tell you, that'll be the one way a 2D game wouldn't be a disappointment to me, is if it essentially is like a remaster of the originals and it captures the look and feel of those original games with the original like animal or baddies, the original animal buddies, the original Kremlings and K. Rool. Like I think I would be so excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate that angle. And art style is like largely like a taste thing, but yeah, I just feel like the Donkey Kong that we got in Tropical Freeze is like a weird blend of like, this is super cartoony, but also like, look at how realistic his fur is. It was just kind of a strange mix. And I think how uncanny and weird Donkey Kong Country looked really worked for it. I mean, it was strange as well, but it just kind of worked a little bit better. And it was just not trying to really like fit into anything. And I feel like especially a lot of reboots nowadays are just like, how do we make our game look like Fortnite? And it's just, I did appreciate those like older art styles that weren't afraid to be like kind of weird and out there. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with that. But most of all, like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I would like for it to be 3D. Also, I don't care if it's 2D because I'm going to love that game too. So I don't really have any expectations of this. I will say the one thing that I hope happens is that maybe it doesn't happen this game. Maybe it happens the next one. But I want K. Rool to become an anti-hero instead of the main antagonist. He's great for the main antagonist role, even if it's just like for a game. I would love to see him playable in some capacity in some of these games. I look at the way that they've characterized Donkey Kong in the Smash Brothers trailers, and I really like that Donkey Kong, where he's funny, but not in like a "Yahoo, I'm a goofy guy" kind of way that he is in, say, like Mario Kart or Tropical Freeze. He's just, it's just funny. Like the things that they do, the way that they move, the facial reactions that they have, like all that stuff is just funny in a very like, how should I say, in a way that's going to age well. You know, when we look at that like Banjo reveal trailer like 10 years from now, like it'll still be pretty funny. And it's I really like the way that they characterized K. Rool in that trailer as well, and in Smash as very goofy guy. And yeah, I hope that he has like a big role in it. Maybe he doesn't even need to be playable, but he's just like in the game more often than like very last boss.
No, I see. I actually would like him to return at least as the main villain first, at least first before anything like that happens, because I just feel like it hasn't happened in such a long time. And I love King K. Rool in that role because he's my favorite video game villain. And so, I don't know, I want to see him return to that villainous role. And I also think because, like, while K. Rool can be goofy and provide comedy relief, I think he can also be, like, a scary villain, too. And I don't know, I like the idea of that blend of, like, the goofiness to him, but also, like, the how should I say, the intimidating angle of him as well. So I don't know. I hope that ends up being the case first, you know, and if they do that with him at some point, that would be fine. I just would like to see him be the main villain first. I wanted to say one other thing too. I just thought about in one other reason why I'm not totally on board with what Zippo said about this game 100% being 2D is that he said that the country moniker is not going to be included in this game and expected to look different. But I just find that weird, one, because this is a studio comprised of people who are fans of that original trilogy. And, you know, like I pointed out in Mario Odyssey, all the references from the old games and everything like that. But also because they started branding Donkey Kong as its own thing in Nintendo merchandise. And I believe they've used the Donkey Kong Country moniker in a lot of that merchandise. And I know for the leaked Universal Studios plans, they have a photo now of the entrance for the Donkey Kong expansion area, the expansion pack. And it's called Donkey Kong Country. So I just think that doesn't really make great business sense to get away from that phrase when it seems so synonymous with the success of the franchise. And so that's another reason why I kind of doubt how accurate everything he's reporting on is.
Yeah, but the interesting thing there is like, if it's Donkey Kong Country and it's 3D, is that weird? I personally like don't care for the country term, like whether it's in or not. I mean, you know, we're speaking of this team now, a Japanese team taking it over, and they grew up with Super Donkey Kong, not Donkey Kong Country, which I actually would prefer Super Donkey Kong as a title over Country, but
I wouldn't, because it's too close to, well, Mario
super,
now.
Super, that's kind of the funny thing that that happened. The reason that most Super Nintendo games had that was just because of the Super Nintendo is like to signify the system that it was on. So, I mean, that's what we're at. But I just think Super Donkey Kong has some flair. Super Donkey Kong Country. Ooh, is that what the game is going to be called? Did I just figure that out? I think I did. Super Donkey Kong Country going to be announced sometime in August.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that the country title is a must. I just don't think it makes sense based on everything they seem to be wanting to do with the franchise. And like I said, assuming DK Vine's source is correct in saying that they recognize that the country games are all the ones that really drove most of the success of the franchise, and again, wanting to compile a team of people who were fans of those games, I just think they probably want to do something that's very reminiscent of those games, and so to then call it something different would be a little odd. I will say it is odd, though, with the Universal using that, because I know I use that as an example, the fact that they call that Donkey Kong Country, you know, is another reason why they would want to name the game that in some way, but it is weird that most of the leaked plans for the Universal Expansion Pack seem to be based off the Retro Studios DK games, and that makes me wonder if those are just old plans or if they just don't care and are not worried that that might create like brand confusion, which I would be worried that it would, or my fear would be that this new game is going to just be using Retro's assets to design the game, which I think is actually a real possibility that nobody's considering, but I would honestly hate that. Like, if they just ripped the character models and you know, like art style and everything like that, but they were just making their own game with it. At that point, I'd be like, please let Retro do it.
Yeah, I don't think that it would create much confusion that like the country term does not matter to the masses who like know the phrase it's on, like Donkey Kong. Like the Donkey Kong as a character transcends gaming, and that's why he's an important character. You know, like Zelda outside of gaming is you get a little bit of traction, but like Donkey Kong just is a character, and that's incredible, because you know, we've taken like a couple decades off from that being like a real thing that Nintendo was pouring a lot of effort into, and it's just been all organic. There was no Donkey Kong movie. There was that ridiculous TV show, but yeah, I mean, Donkey Kong has so much brand recognition that I don't think you could mess that up by calling something Donkey Kong Country and the other thing Donkey Kong. I mean, it's kind of similar to Mario. Like, how can Mario Odyssey sit next to Super Mario Maker 2, sit next to Super Mario Kart Party, and New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe? I mean, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe is even a mess itself, like by itself, just saying that is disgusting. I feel like I need to drink some water now. But you know, people figured out mostly they just see the red hat and they know what's going on, that it's gonna be, you know, there's gonna be some jumping in and they're gonna have a good time. And I think Donkey Kong is one of those characters, and you know, Zelda's becoming one of those too. So I think I would not be surprised if Zelda became the next brand that you started to see this gigantic push for, sort of that multicultural appeal, the like outside of the gaming niche appeal, where we start to see movies, merchandise, Lego tie-ins, yada yada. Because I feel like the root of all of this is Pokemon Go. And Nintendo sees that Niantic and the Pokemon Company are having this gigantic success, which, of course, they get a little bit of a chunk of revenue in because they own part of the Pokemon Company. But if you look at the breakdown of how Pokemon became the highest-grossing media franchise in the world of all time, it's all in the merchandise. It's in the toys, it's in the cards, and Pokemon is a juggernaut selling franchise. I mean, you know, the only thing that comes close to scratching like Mario Kart is Pokemon, and in some cases it will exceed it depending on the system. And Nintendo's got to be looking at that. They have to have had those conversations. Like, they know the president of the Pokemon Company. Like, they're in the boardroom. They know this. And that's why you've seen this recent push with Mario around the 35th anniversary to do this Lego project. It's been big for Lego, big for Nintendo, you know, wins all around. They've been expanding the Super Mario action figure line. They've cut this deal with Illumination for the movie. They cut this deal with Universe for the theme park. Like, there is an energy going into Mario because they want Mario to be that kind of franchise, to be like Pokemon, to gross with all those, you know, shirt sales and sock sales and Spaghetti-O tie-in sales. Like, they want that. And it's a good strategy. I mean, people love that tie-in stuff. It doesn't feel annoying yet. And so it seems like the next franchise that's poised for that sort of activity is Donkey Kong. And that's why, like, at the end of the day, I'm not too worried. I think unless this game is just stinky beyond belief, I think the franchise is a very bright future. And that's why, like, you know, I'm not too worried about when it comes out, or, you know, whether it'll be revealed at E3 or in some random Nintendo Direct or a tweet or a Donkey Kong 40th anniversary Direct or whatever. You know, I just know that stuff is coming, and that they finally seem to care about Donkey Kong again. That's all. All's a fan I was looking for, and honestly, as someone who kind of watches the industry and reports on it to a certain degree, like, it's always just boggled my mind why you'd just be leaving that much money on the table. It's like, you know, there's franchises that are dead for good reasons. Like, Earthbound, the story is done. The guy who created it doesn't want to work on it anymore, and, like, it had a finale point. I think they should localize the rest of the games, but, like, that franchise is dead for a reason. You know, you look at something like F-Zero, which, of course, like, there'd be an awesome reason to make a new F-Zero game, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be this, like, Mario Kart type of selling game. Like, it's going to be a moderate success, something like Metroid, and that's why, like, if they didn't make, you know, when Metroid Prime 4 comes out and it sells, like, 5 million units, which is great for Metroid but not great for the Switch, and they just kind of, like, you know, go quiet for another 10 years, like, you'll understand why. But Donkey Kong, there's a lot of money that you're leaving on the table by not getting back into these things, especially like merchandising and movie opportunities. Like, that stuff is huge.
Yeah, I just think if it's another 2D game, though, I think, you know, if that's what you come back with after all this time and it's just another regular, like, 2D game, kind of like Retromade, I just think that's not really going to do anything for the brand. It's not going to reignite a flame. I just feel like people will look at it as like, oh, a new DK game, cool. But I don't think it'll be this grand statement that, like, DK's back and back for good and it's in good hands and it's here to reckon with the biggest names in the industry once again. You know, which is what I'm kind of fearful of, which is why I really want a 3D game. It's not even just because I would prefer at this point to play a 3D game, because I feel like ever since the Wii, there's just been so many 2D platformers. And while they probably 2D platformers might be my favorite genre, but I'm kind of burnt out on them at this point. I just feel like there's so many of them, and I just want something a little different. And I don't think there's enough 3D sandbox games, or if it was open world or something, that would be even crazier. But I just think also, I always think about how fun DK could be to control in a 3D environment, all the things you could do with his movement options. I mean, a gorilla just works well for that, swinging from vines, using Diddy on his back for the jetpack, or doing... I just feel like it could end up being almost like the Spider-Man games on PlayStation with, like, what you could create as far as movement options and everything like that. But I just think, to me, if you're trying to bring the brand back in a big way, like has been heavily reported by a lot of these DK guys, I just think a new 2D game doesn't really reinvigorate anything, if you ask me. But
yeah, that seems to be the vibe of the room, is that, like, a lot less people will be interested in 2D. And I mean, that's just the honest truth. You know, we've had two really stellar Donkey Kong games, and, you know, they could even, if they wanted to, brush up Country Returns, just give it some Tropical Freeze assets and clean it up and put it in on Switch 2, but if they wanted, like, another side scroller. But Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's 3D. Hopefully it's the game of our dreams. But, you know, Sonic's already disappointed me this year, so I'm keeping my expectations low.
I just would, to me, my worst case scenario is if it's a 2D game, and I remember one insider was reporting that this is going to be the new Super Mario Bros. Of DK, and I'm sorry, when I just hear that, I get a little PTSD of, like, because I honestly think the new Super Mario Bros. Games are, at least in my personal opinion, aside from the original DS one and maybe the Wii one, I think those aren't even just average games. I personally think they're bad games. I know you and most people would probably disagree with me on that, but I think they're really uninspired, half-hearted video games that just have this familiar character that people love on it. I mean, to me, it's just how uninspiring it is just evident by the music and how they just reuse like four or five music tracks over and over again throughout the game. If there's a new DK game and it's 2D and it's anything like that, I will be very, very disappointed, because I just think at that point, like I said before, at that point I would have rather just had Retro make another game, even if I had to wait, you know, 5-10 more years for it. I just think if you're going to put another DK on the Switch and it's not anywhere close to what Tropical Freeze was, then I think that's only going to hurt the brand immensely. And I think this is why I'm kind of worried about this game, is I feel like this is the one opportunity to really get the younger generation who didn't grow up with Donkey Kong Country like we did. This is their opportunity to get them really interested in the brand and create sustained success, because I think the Switch has such a great install base that this is the perfect opportunity to reintroduce some of these dormant franchises. I mean, that's why I've even said, like, to me, this is the perfect opportunity to not only create new IPs, but try and bring some old ones back. Like, if you tried to bring Star Fox back, but you're doing it on a system like the Switch, I just think that's the perfect, like, this is the perfect opportunity to do that. Same thing with franchises like F-Zero. You know, like, if it's going to have any sort of success now, and, you know, the potential for a lot of people to buy the game and become fans of the franchise, it would be with a system that's on pace to be the best-selling system of all time. So I just really hope they don't drop the ball with this, because if it's some uninspired, half-hearted 2D game, like, I think I'd almost rather not even have a game at that point. If it's anything like New Super Mario Bros. Like, even just a little bit.
I definitely agree that the Wii U and 3DS New Super Mario Brothers games are uninspired and half-hearted and reused, you know, disregard all the assets and the sounds and all that stuff. They reuse, like, entire level concepts, and that's why I'm saying, like, you know, you compare Tropical Freeze and New Super Mario Bros. Side by side, and it's amazing how people don't care about level design in side-scrolling platformers. Mario did better and has just, like, a lot less effort put into it. But that's the magic of keeping the brand, on fire. And then they can make low-effort DK games and cash in on them.
But it's not even the level design. It's the music. It's the graphics. It's all those things are just, they just scream mediocre. And I just, to me, if any of that bleeds into DK, because the one thing you can say about the Donkey Kong franchise, even people that don't realize how big a deal it used to be in the industry, the one thing most people seem to understand about it is that when you get a Donkey Kong game, you're getting one of the best games of all time. You're getting Nintendo's best. You know, ironically enough, I say Nintendo's best when usually the best DK games aren't directly made by Nintendo, but that's beside the point. You just know that you're getting an amazing game, and that's why I just think, you know, that's one thing that DK's always been able to say, and if you sully that at all, I'll just be really disappointed as a fan, because even with that reputation, it's become this dormant franchise, and I think, you know, if you finally try to bring it back and you do it in a really mediocre way, I think people are, at that point, there's not going to be anybody who's interested in DK anymore, except for old school people like us. And I don't know, that would just be really sad to me, because I think this is the perfect time to strike while the iron's hot. I think if you came out with some, you know, ambitious 3D sandbox DK game, I think that game would easily sell over 10 million copies. Easy. I really do. Like, I know that's a bold statement. It's a hot take, whatever you want to call it. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it sold much more than 10 million copies, because I really think there's that much power in the brand. But I just think, you know, you got to bring it. Like, if it's some 2D game, there just has to be something more to it than what we've already been getting with Retro, because those games are masterpieces.
Yeah, I think, I don't even think 10 million is like a dangerous prediction. I think that it could easily clear that if it was, now if it's another 2D game, yeah, I don't know. That's something. But like a 3D Donkey Kong game would easily do 10 million, I think, on the Switch. And that's, but I don't know. I also don't know the effects of like how this lack of Donkey Kong action in the last, like, you know, since Retro released Tropical Freeze will affect him at all. So, I mean, you know, we'll just have to see. But that's all I got. I mean, you have any closing thoughts, Matthew?
Not really. I mean, I'm just really excited for E3. I'm really hoping DK has a presence at E3, because I think this is the perfect time to talk about this game too, especially since it seems that the cat's already out of the bag. So at this point, I would hope that Nintendo would just go ahead and announce it, even if it's not coming out this year. But a lot of indications point to the idea that it'll probably have some presence at E3, and that makes me really excited. I hope it is, and I hope it's something that I'm interested in. You know, I'm just kind of fearful that we either won't get an announcement, or it'll be an announcement, and it'll be something that I've always feared, you know, or not wanted in the franchise. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I have big hopes for this game. You know, just the fact that this team is comprised of people that love the original games. Those games are my favorite. Everything about those games, the way they look, sound, feel, everything is my like favorite type of game. And I think if you're making a new DK in that style, and seeing again all the references in Super Mario Odyssey that are directly tied to those games and those games alone, I just think if this is at all what this game's going to be, even if it's 2D, I would be thrilled at that point, because I feel like Donkey Kong Country Returns was, you know, it had the spirit of the original DKs in terms of, or it kind of like holding up the mantle as far as, you know, delivering on like a really quality game. But I just think those games didn't feel like the original Country games. They're just too way, way too cartoony. Just the overall appearance of everything. It just didn't feel like Donkey Kong, you know? And so if we get something that's closer to, you know, the original trilogy, I would be super thrilled with that. But, you know, if you listen closely, you can hear it coming. This game is happening according to everybody that knows anything. And so all the people that really follow the DK stuff, they are absolutely 1,000% certain this game is happening. So barring some cancellation, like, we're going to see DK once again.
Do we see him at E3, though? That's thrilled. The last question I got for you.
No, that's what I think so. I think, again, because I don't think they're going to have some direct that's... I've already explained this to you off-air. I don't think they'll have some direct in July to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Donkey Kong, because while it's his 40th anniversary, I think that original Donkey Kong game doesn't have much of anything to do with what DK became. Number two, I don't think they'll dedicate a direct to Donkey Kong, because Donkey Kong's been away for so long that if there's some direct that they announce and they say it's going to be a Donkey Kong direct, you've already spoiled the game. You know, at that point, you already know that, okay, we got a new DK game coming, as opposed to it being a surprise, which is why I would be absolutely stunned if they did something like that, because they don't ever do that. They had a Super Mario Anniversary Direct because it's Mario and we always know Mario's happening, or just like how Pokemon has directs. But I think those are a little different. Same thing with Sonic, you know, but we don't, there's not this certainty that DK games are always being made and coming, and they haven't for a long time. So I think they're not going to spoil the announcement of bringing back DK after all this time. And, you know, by telling you what the Direct is going to focus on before we even know what the game is or that it even truly exists. So I think E3 is the perfect time to announce it. The only way I don't see E3 happening is if this game's not coming out this year. But a lot of people have been saying that it's most likely going to be a holiday title this year. And, you know, that's why I'm super confident that it's going to be there.
Man, I don't know. I see what you're saying. I think E3 would be the place to make a big splashola, but at the same time, I could see them doing a Donkey Kong Direct, and I could also, I mean, you know, Nintendo's been weird the last few years where they've been like, you know, I think it was Paper Mario that just got announced, like, they just tweeted one day. Obviously,
right, but they didn't ahead of time say we got a Paper Mario announcement coming. That's my point, is like, that's why I don't think they'll have, imagine if F-Zero was finally coming back, right, and then they say tune in tomorrow for a new F-Zero. Like, they're not going to do that because we don't know that an F-Zero game's coming. It's not a given that it is. And so I just think DK's in that same boat.
He's got one foot in that boat.
You'll see it announced the same way as like Returns or Tropical Freeze, I think.
Yeah, I think he's got one foot in that boat, but yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see. So that's this long Donkey Kong topic. We're very passionate about the series. That's actually where our gaming journey began. Really, that's like my earliest memories are playing Donkey Kong Country. I think it was the first game we ever beat too. So yeah, the huge longtime fans of the series hope to see it grow. But there's, you know, much more happening at E3 time with Nintendo and all the other people who publish games to Switch. So we'll be back in your feeds Friday at some point. We're trying to like nail a time, but like we want all the news to come in and then record a podcast. But in any case, we're going to be back in your feeds on Friday to predict some of the stuff that's happening with E3. Going to give our analysis on Nintendo as a whole. And but we just wanted to cover this Donkey Kong stuff because, I mean, honestly, it's kind of a treat for us. Donkey Kong's never in the news like this. And thought it'd be a good time to cover this whole thing. So we'll be back with that. And then, of course, when E3 happens, we'll do a podcast pretty shortly after the presentation just to give our thoughts and analysis. And yeah, so thank you so much for tuning in. You know, go ahead and subscribe or whatever on your podcast service. Drink a glass of water and prepare for Donkey Kong because it's coming at some point.